Ben had a reputation as someone who ran hard, did his homework, and knew how to go for the close. He had brought in accounts by the dozens, individual clients by the score. There were some who said he might be executive material. He was, they said, a guy who knew how to take leadership in tough circumstances. Still, he'd never faced a situation quite like this before. As Ben emerged from the parking garage, he blinked in the bright September sunlight. "You've got this, Ben," he murmured as he set off down the street. "This is going to be a piece of cake." He arrived at the address he'd been given, a sturdy old brick building that took up half the city block. He squinted and looked up. There it was, inscribed on a large brass plate riveted onto the brick facing above the entrance: "Allen and Augustine, makers and marketers of fine chairs." "Piece of cake," he repeated as he stepped through the gigantic oak doors and into the foyer, where he was greeted by the scent of wood shavings, leather, and varnish. Allen and Augustine had fallen on hard times. That was why Ben was here. The conference room was filled with some 24 people milling about and talking in hushed tones. Ben was the only outsider. He moved through the group, shaking hands, meeting the members of Allen and Augustine's executive team and exploratory committee. As he reached the head of the table, he saw two chairs and, standing by them, Allen and Augustine's two co-chairmen. He was introduced first to a slender, soft-spoken gentleman, Allen, co-founder of the company, who greeted Ben quietly, and then the barrel-chested man standing next to him, who gave Ben a warm welcome and a two-fisted handshake, Allen's brother, Augustine. Next, he met a burly man with tree-trunk hands. This was Frank, VP of production. Frank said not a word, giving only a terse nod. Finally, Ben was introduced to the VP of finance and personnel, Karen, a petite woman with dark, intelligent eyes. "So this is Ben," she said. Ben couldn't quite decide whether she seemed hostile or just cautious. If he could influence these four executives successfully, Ben knew he'd have the company. He had to win them over, to convince them. In a word, to conquer them. "Let's not kid ourselves," he'd muttered to his reflection in the mirror that morning while shaving. "This is a battlefield." In his 12 years with the Martin Group, Ben had moved from sales to sales management to division manager. Now, at the tender age of 34, he had been promoted to a position, on probation, in the firm's highly competitive mergers and acquisitions department. Ben's task was to lead the transition, a smooth transition, as the boss had emphasized when giving Ben the job just 3 days earlier, with this newly acquired company, helping them become a successful, productive part of the Martin Group, one big, happy family. Except that the newly acquired company wasn't actually acquired yet. And that was Ben's charge, to persuade the owners of Allen and Augustine that this merger was in their best interests. And because all of Allen and Augustine's roughly 500 employees had been given generous employee stock ownership plans, they were the owners. All Ben had to do was get 500 people to lay down their arms, so to speak, and see things his way. No, he'd never faced a situation quite like this before. The babble in the room quieted to a hush as they all took their seats. After a brief introduction, Allen turned the floor over to Ben. Ben put on a firm yet friendly smile. Time to take command. "Makers and marketers," Ben began slowly, deliberately, "of fine chairs, all made of premium wood, all hand-designed, all exquisite. When you sit in an Allen and Augustine chair," he was now quoting from their ads, "you don't just feel supported, you feel held." In fact, that was the company's slogan, "We hold you up." Ben couldn't help thinking what a hokey motto that was. "Tiny chairs for tots, tykes, and nursery nooks," he continued. "Big, bold boardroom chairs, classic country kitchen chairs, elegant straight-back dining room chairs, cozy deep cushion setting chairs for grandparents, comfy rockers for nursing moms. The chairs that held a generation." Ben noticed the body language in the room as people stiffly shifted positions. Not good.